Coming up on Path to Zero.
Whether it's trying to prevent fires or helping the firefighters who are battling the fires, propane is in the middle of the whole thing as a solution.
Welcome to Path to Zero, the podcast about clean energy and the journey toward a low-carbon future. Your host is Tucker Perkins, engineer, entrepreneur, business leader, speaker, and clean energy industry veteran, who now serves as president and CEO of the Propane Education and Research Council. Now, here's Tucker.
Hello to every Path to Zero listener. So glad to have you with us today. And this will be the second of our two-part episode that's focused on sustainable solutions capable of creating a wider path to net zero emissions. And for once now, we finally begin talking about something that no one talks about. That is adaptive reuse, conservation. Really excited to have Josh Simpson with us. We've been talking about sustainable recreation practices that not only reduce waste, but they also cut emissions and they also enhance fire safety, something so important to Californians, especially as we are in the middle of wildfire season. Our guest today is Josh Simpson. He's the Vice President of Marketing for Camps Propane, a California-based company that's developed an innovative product helping keep hazardous waste out of our parks. Little Camper is the world's first one-pound propane tank exchange program, which gives us now a sustainable alternative to those small disposable tanks. Little Camper has been well-received, growing quickly. They've won awards. They're just at the very beginning of what they're going to really do to impact this market. The tank exchange system is available in several locations, starting in Yosemite National Park, and then quickly now expanding to other retail locations. Josh, what a great honor to have you today on Path to Zero. Welcome.
It's great to be here, Tucker.
We're going to look forward to a great conversation. But first, I think I know a lot about Camps Propane and your founder, John Camps. He's just been such an innovator, such a leader in the industry for over 50 years, and just a great person, not only a great businessman, but a great person. But tell us about what inspired Little Camper.
So our business has functioned for, you know, literally generations, with a lot of entrepreneurial spirit behind it. And one of the things that John realized a long time ago was that diversifying his retail business was going to be a great way to make sure that he utilized all of the people and resources at his disposal for the sake of always making sure that people were busy and that there was revenue coming into the company. One illustration of that is that we were contacted by some different organizations who were having a problem with the one-pound propane cylinders that were accumulating in their areas of responsibility. Yosemite National Park is a great example. So millions of people visit Yosemite every year. Many of those people use propane as their fuel for the appliances, the stoves, the barbecues, the lanterns that they bring with them for their camping trips. Many of those people use one-pound propane cylinders because they're convenient and easy to use. But unfortunately, Yosemite was seeing more of those cylinders left in the park every year. They went through a long process of trying to figure out what to do with that. We ended up becoming a tank recycling resource for Yosemite and other places like that, because we had the expertise to handle that part of their waste stream. And when we recognized just how significant the volume of tanks left in the park were, it became obvious to us that that was a problem that needed a solution. And when the one-pound propane cylinder was introduced by Flame King, I guess it was about 8 years ago, it dawned on us that maybe what the actual solution for Yosemite's tank waste problem was a different tank that was used by the people who visited the park in a different way. And, you know, John's old enough that he recognized that many of the virtues of 1 pound propane cylinders are based around convenience. But the reality of it is that the reuse of propane cylinders is baked into the operation of the propane industry. We reuse cylinders over and over and over again. That is what we do. And it's one of the important parts of how the little camper program works, because every time we refill and reuse a little camper, it essentially represents one fewer disposable tank going into the waste stream. So, you know, we found out about this by virtue of one part of our business, and we're trying to solve it with a new part.
You know, it was interesting to me. In fact, I've been involved with the national parks for probably a decade in helping them really clean their emissions and their waste stream. And so many activities, from vehicles that actually run on propane. But Yosemite, I think, has always been the leader in thinking about these 1 pound cylinders. And it's nice to see kind of how you came together with the park to identify the problem first, and then frankly, now to bring them a solution. So certainly I don't think we would call this an overnight success, because you've been working on it for years, but it is nice to see now, as you expand this idea, that you're already being recognized by outdoor industry and environmental groups, and you're beginning to win awards for Little Camper, right? Tell us about that.
Yes. You know, it's really an amazing development for us, because, you know, this is partly about bringing an environmental solution to an environmental problem in the marketplace. But the other thing about it is that the places where these tanks have been accumulating are places that are really near and dear to a lot of Americans. And what has happened over the course of the time that we've been doing this is that every once in a while, some organization that didn't know anything about us finds out about us, takes a deep look at what we're doing. And when they realize that, you know, we're really trying to solve a problem that's kind of overdue for a solution, we've been recognized, as you said, by some environmental organizations. We received an award from the California Product Stewardship Council for our collaboration in the development of this program and the implementation of it in different parts of California. We've been recognized with some awards from people in the outdoor recreation industry for the innovation of what we're doing. You know, to be honest with you, I am hopeful that we'll eventually get what I would consider to be the biggest award of all, which is to see this product available in many, many locations so that it is convenient for people to use and allows consumers an alternative to using disposable tanks. I mean, truthfully, the big thing for us is to make it possible for people to use this solution. That would be a tremendous, tremendous accomplishment.
You did, before you started this, I know you did a lot of study. You heard from Yosemite about the need, which was they just didn't want to see, they really wanted a better way to adapt and reuse the steel cylinders that were littering their trash cans. I know you did a lot of work on that. When you did that work, what did you find? You audited the fuel cylinders in Yosemite, but kind of what did you see?
Well, what we see is that you know, and this is something that you and I know, propane is a tremendously popular fuel for outdoor recreation. I mean, you know, one of the amazing things about being in this industry is that after a while, you know, it dawns on you all of the different ways in which propane is used, that to many people, they don't really realize it. I mean, a lot of the people who are using propane for recreation don't even know that there's other people who are using propane to fuel vehicles, or using propane to in agricultural processes, or using propane to heat homes. The thing that we discovered when we were doing the cylinder audit, the waste stream audit at Yosemite, was that about 95% of the fuel cylinders that are left in Yosemite are propane cylinders, are 1 pound propane cylinders. There are people who use butane cylinders or butane tanks, and there are people who use isobutane tanks. But the reality of it is that when it comes to outdoor recreation, propane is hands down by far the most popular choice as a fuel for the devices that people use when they go out on camping trips or picnics, tailgating, all that kind of stuff. So the reality of it is that our industry is not only fueling the clean future of a lot of businesses and a lot of family homes in our country, but it's also fueling a lot of the recreational activities that people enjoy when they're off on their weekends and vacations.
You know, you live in California, and certainly we pay a lot of attention to wildfires and what causes them, and you know, the devastation that is caused from them. Do you see propane being used to replace perhaps wood in outdoor recreation, such as campfires or other uses that would really perhaps dramatically reduce wildfires?
Yes. As a matter of fact, the Forest Service and the Park Service and CAL FIRE all basically impose restrictions when we get into the worst version of the wildfire season here in California, where the only fuel that's allowed for people who are camping in, you know, in the campgrounds in the wilderness, they ban charcoal, they ban wood fires. The only thing that they'll let people use is gas. And as I said before, that means that propane becomes the, you know, primary fuel for all of those outdoor activities when wildfire season kicks into high gear. The other thing that, you know, unfortunately, we are dealing with is that we've got fires burning all over California and fire camps all over California, places where firefighters who are getting downtime to rest and recover from their work are going to a place where they can take a hot shower, get clean clothes, eat a good meal, and get some rest. Those fire camps rely on propane to do most of the things that they need to provide services to those firefighters. So whether it's trying to prevent fires in the forests or helping the firefighters who are battling the fires, propane is in the middle of the whole thing as a solution, not the problem.
Yeah, interesting. And then we add Arizona, which is, you know, in a 2-year experiment that has wonderfully been successful. There they moved away from wood fires, not because of danger for fire, but because of air pollution. So the county that surrounds Phoenix and really holds most of the people of Arizona, they banned wood fires and allowed, and in fact incentivized, either gas propane fires or natural gas fire pits. And it dramatically changed the air quality just a couple months into the program, because wood burning is not only so damaging from a CO2 perspective, but also from a particulate perspective. And so climate health and lung health at the same time. So it's really neat how that works. I'm going to move away from this because I want to talk about your experiences in California in a much broader view, but I want to give you kind of a chance to at least talk about maybe lessons learned and the future as you see it for Little Camper, and kind of the way you see propane being able to be used into this really unique segment for outdoor adventure and enthusiasts. Anything else you want to tell us about propane and Little Camper and or camps in general?
You know, what I would want to make sure that people understand is that when it boils down to how people are going to go outdoors and enjoy the time that they spend in places like Yosemite, there is going to be some version of change coming, because some of the things that we've been doing in the past, in many respects for years, are things that kind of need to be cleaned up a little bit. And the reality of it is that propane tanks that get left in our national forests or parks or beaches or campgrounds are a problem with a relatively easy solution. But the thing about it is that we really want people to understand that, you know, using a refillable propane cylinder is at the heart of the propane industry. And, you know, you don't have to use a 1 pound propane cylinder for your portable stove or for your portable barbecue. You can take the 20 pound barbecue cylinder off your back porch, get an adapter hose and use it to fuel those appliances when you're on camping trips. You can buy a smaller tank if you want to, but the reality of it is that the propane marketer that serves the community where you live is going to be able to refill that cylinder and put you in a position to be able to safely enjoy your time in the woods or at the beach or wherever you may go. The little camper is one solution to reducing tank waste. It's not the only solution. We think it's a really exciting and great way to reduce tank waste that gets left behind. But the reality of it is that propane marketers all over the United States can contribute to reducing that waste just by encouraging their customers to use refillable tanks and filling those tanks for the customers when they need gas.
Josh, we're going to take a break, and then we really look forward to getting back into further discussions about little camping.
Zero is a big number. Getting close to a future of zero emissions starts with using the broadest mix of clean, low-carbon energy sources. You might be surprised to know that propane produces a lot of energy for thousands of purposes and millions of people with virtually zero particulate matter, zero impact to the ozone, zero toxicity, and zero potential for storage-related contamination. It's low NOx and low CO2 to boot. Path to Zero is sponsored by Propane, Clean American Energy. Learn more at cleanamericanenergy.us.
Our guest is Josh Simpson with Little Camper, who's out fulfilling a need not only that he saw as a hiker and an outdoorsman, but also after working with Yosemite. Your distribution method, I know, is varied. You're working with a lot of the outdoor companies, major retailers. But as your material distributes a little bit more broadly, that's how you see the general public would find your product, right? In their local hardware store, in their local sports wholesaler, right?
That's correct. I mean, we think that this program has to work in a way that's similar to 20 pound barbecue tank exchange, from the standpoint that it needs to be safe and convenient so that the customer can walk into a location that's nearby and easy to find, preferably open 7 days a week, pick up the tank when it's convenient for them, use the gas and bring it back when it's empty. But the reality of it is that if this program is really going to work, it's going to have to be very easy to find and convenient pretty much no matter wherever you might be. And we're starting out on the West Coast. We've got a pretty good running start in California, and we're growing into other states. But truthfully, the future for us is about being able to do this across the entire United States.
I want to do one thing with you while we're on the subject, because I really want it to stay in the context of Little Camper and kind of this outdoor living. But one of the fun things we do is we hand you a magic wand. And with that magic wand, you get to change one thing. So just one thing, and it has to be relatively timely in the next year But that one thing would have this biggest impact regarding the climate and a positive contribution to our environment. So I'm going to hand you, Josh, this magic wand, and I'm going to ask you to use it to change one thing in the next year that would have the largest impact for climate change. How are you going to use that wand?
Well, being here in California, I think that if I could change one thing, it would be to take the regulatory and political environment surrounding energy here in California and wipe the slate clean and give the scientists a chance to look at the actual data related to the use of all of the different energy solutions that are in the marketplace and give us an accurate accounting of what works well and allow what works to become the solutions that we use for the future of energy in California and the rest of the world. The reality of it is that I think we are running in circles because there are too many people who believe things that are not based on science or fact. And that is complicating the way in which people are trying to figure out what they should do as they are trying to use energy to fight climate change and make it possible for people to live where they want, how they want, and within reasonable economic means. I think that affordable clean energy is essential for the future of people living, well, on the planet, but let's just start in California. My magic wand would be to say, let's ditch all of the, rhetoric about what's clean and what's not, and let's start from scratch and let real scientific evidence determine where we're going to go. Because I think if we did that, it would make a huge difference for the future of our state and our country.
Well, it's a great use of your magic wand, and thank you for that. So let's actually go in that direction. I want you to step back. I know you've been in this industry a long time. You came to us from another industry. I think you have, really one of the clearer views of how it works. And you're a Californian. You've been there a long time. I know you're an avid hiker. I mean, I know you are a champion for clean air and water and a great climate. So one of the things as I study it specific to even California is that the current grid in California is about the same intensity for carbon as propane today. So whether you use propane or electricity, you're making about the same contribution to positive climate. Yet California seems to have this insistent view that the narrow path of electrification is the only way to a climate. And I think what we see from the numbers, as you say, the science, is that probably that's actually an incorrect view, that the view would have to be that you believe the electric grid will be cleaner over time. But today, at least, the next car you put onto the grid, unless there are a lot of things that happen in the grid, that car will be likely powered by the next incremental form of electricity, which is often not as clean as even the current grid. How do you see the role of propane in a place, let's just say, obsessed with clean climate, health, justice, equity, all of those current attributes that we really want in our energy sources? How do you see propane playing out?
I think the interesting thing about where we are and where we need to be is that we are not going to get there on a straight line. It's probably going to be the case that, if we're lucky, we're going to zigzag to our goal, but we may actually run in circles for a while. What I believe is going to happen is that California, due to the political and regulatory environment here, is likely to push towards the electrification of everything at our own demise. And propane is going to be an essential fuel, not only for people to be able to, you know, live in places where there's fragile grid supplied energy. The reality of it is that we see more standby generators at our customers' houses in California every year. They're doing that not because they want to buy a $10,000 generator. They're doing that because they want to be able to stay in their house when the electricity goes off. The reality of it is that we're probably going to see more people incentivized to move towards electric appliances and vehicles. But unfortunately, I think we're going to come to a point where our grid and our electrical power providers aren't in a position to supply the demand that's being created by this shift towards electricity. I think that propane is going to be an essential resource when we realize that we can't get where we think we're going to go with electricity alone. And, you know, my feeling is that propane is going to be a part of our future in California long after I'm gone, that's for sure. But the unfortunate truth of it is that I think we're going to figure that out the hard way. That's my feeling.
Well, I know you've had a great view across a lot of market segments, right? Not just residential construction, but commercial uses, material handling, ports, and now industrial uses, agricultural uses. I mean, I know you, in many respects, I think you have one of the broader views of the industry of the demand needs. And I think so, your views are really important to all of that. We have some fun on the show, and I think people don't realize, in fact, let's get you to tell us about that. You yourself are an avid hiker, right? You have hiked quite a bit of the Pacific Coast Trail, correct?
I've logged many, many miles in the mountains and you know, the beautiful parts of California. I have not wasted the opportunity to California's beautiful places, that's for sure.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to people realize that even, you know, those of us who have this background in low carbon fuels, I would label many of us avid environmentalists. We love being outdoors. You're one that comes to mind. You've worn out many more pairs of boots than I have, and I'm well aware of it. So let's talk about one of the fun things we do. We actually created the Propane National Forest. It's a way to thank our guests on Path to Zero, and we plant a tree in your honor. It's a virtual national forest, but we plant a tree in your honor. The fun part of this is you get to pick the forest, and then we do all the rest of the work. But kind of thinking about it, we thought about the Sierra National Forest. Love the beauty of the El Dorado National Forest. But where would you like a tree planted in your honor?
So that's a great question, and I have a very sentimental answer. So when I was 11 years old, I joined the Boy Scouts. And for 6 years, I spent 3 weeks every summer in the Sierra Mountains at a summer camp where most of the time we were on the move. We had the opportunity to spend a lot of time hiking from lake to lake and mountain to mountain in a part of the Sierras that is not a terribly popular destination. I mean, there are places like Yosemite and Lake Tahoe that everybody knows about and many, many people visit. But the place where we were was in the Carson Iceberg National Forest, or it's actually Carson Iceberg Wilderness Area, which is basically between Lake Tahoe and Yosemite. And it is a place that I still visit every summer with my kids. And I would like very much to see that be the place where my tree life gets planted.
What a great memory and a great story. And we will enjoy planting a tree in the virtual national forest for you there. Carson Iceberg. Wow.
Don't ask me. I have no idea how it got that name. I should know, but I don't.
Well, what an honor to be able to do that. Look, I want to call attention to the fact that, you know, we talk so much about our climate, and rightfully so, right? How do we get from this world we live in today to a cleaner climate? I never want to talk about climate without talking about health. And I think when we think about health, you have to think about the people you're representing right now, you know, hikers and outdoors people, people that are out where we're not only having a clean climate, but having a healthy atmosphere to do it, healthy plants, healthy animals, so critical. But I do think I want to call attention to something that I think y'all have come to. And I think it's important that you saw this need and you now are filling this need, but it's really about things that we don't talk enough about, right? It's about adaptive reuse and how to take something that was formerly wasted and landfilled often, and now we're able to recycle, reuse. Specifically, you're at the very high end of that, true reuse without even recycling. And then the last part of that is just conservation. And I think to an outdoorsman, we can think about conservation of water, conservation of land, conservation of energy. And I just want to call attention and give you great accolades for kind of your role in this. You're painted in the broad brush of being a fossil fuel advocate. And I never know how we let you get a moniker like that, because I know firsthand you are for clean climate. You are for healthy planet. You're for justice. You're for people to be able to afford your solutions. And now you bring in that final level about conservation of our precious resources. And I want to commend John Camps. I want to commend Josh Simpson. I want to commend Little Camper for the role you're playing in kind of leading a part of that revolution. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
So Josh, thanks. You're always a great person. You've been a terrific guest. I want to thank you for being here, and to everyone listening on Path to Zero, we'll see you next time. Thank you.
This has been Path to Zero with Tucker Perkins. Subscribe and learn more at cleanamericanenergy.us. And if you like what you have heard, rate us on whatever platform you use to listen to your podcasts.